welcome to this week's episode of the CPO Strategy Podcast. Today I'm joined by Diana Monterrubio, Procurement Global Strategic Director at Tele Performance. Today we'll be discussing the road ahead for women in procurement and also the journey ahead in gender diversity. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the CPO Strategy Podcast. The dedicated procurement podcast brought to you by CPO Strategy Magazine that delivers valuable C-level perspective into the core issues surrounding procurement transformation, digitalization, sustainability, talent, the procure tech ecosystem, and more. Each episode delivers powerful and inspiring insight from those who are leading transformation strategies within the world's biggest and best known companies. The CPO Strategy Podcast, disrupt, transform, evolve.
Well, do you want the short version or the long version?
All right, well, I work at Tele Performance. I am a procurement director. I am in charge of global purchases for hardware and software, some software. I do have a peer that takes care of most software. And so it's 88 countries, 440K employees. So I definitely do keep busy. And when I started working at Tele Performance, it was the year I was about to graduate college. And I thought I would start working somewhere to start paying, you know, college, paying student loans and everything. So I said I was going to be an agent in this company for 3 months. So I was an agent. I started out in Tele Performance as an agent. And I always love saying that because, you know, really did start from the bottom, but there's no limits when it's a good company and you want to grow and there's growth opportunities. So I was an agent and then I moved to recruitment for a little bit. And I did get a taste for negotiating and dealing with vendors. So when there was a procurement opening for Mexico, I applied for it. And well, the rest is history. I was first just working for Mexico. Then it was Mexico and Central America. Then it was Ibero-LATAM. And now it's 88 countries. It has been a journey.
Having only planned to be in the industry for a few months, Diana remains in procurement 12 years later. But reflecting on those 12 years, procurement looks completely different to what it did when she first joined the industry. Diana reveals what the space looked like when she first arrived and how the ground lays today in procurement.
Well, when I first began, I was not buying tech. I was doing procurement for HR. But I can tell you about the tools we were using. So it was so different. 12 years ago seems like a lifetime ago, technology-wise. So the ERPs, the tools that we would use to get our POs going, they worked fine, but they were just so different than what we have right now. Things were not automated. Invoices, some of them were still printed out when they would take them to the office. So definitely, I think we have done a huge leap in the last few years. And I take it all to technology. Now I buy technology, but of course, back then I was working with the technology to buy things. And it's just made it easier and simpler. And you learn a few things along the way, too.
Technology continues to play a greater role. Leveraging new digital solutions such as AI and big data has become an essential component in procurement. Diana is well aware of this and believes COVID-19 actually acted as an enabler for technology to come to the fore.
I think technology right now is something that definitely is setting the standards for everything. I think, like we all know, in 2020, the world changed. And right now, the world is changing again. And that's very important to mention because we have an industry that is moving, that is almost alive. And it has its own rhythm. And sometimes it sets back and sometimes it takes a huge leap forward. So for me, in procurement, the most challenging thing and the most important thing right now is to get the supply chain in order. And that's something that we haven't been able to do since the pandemic. And it's something that I think is still going to take a, a few years to come on its own, but now it's never going to be the same. We're seeing AI, we're seeing the cloud, we're seeing all these amazing, fascinating things that can make our lives easier, especially if you're negotiating. You can rely on all of these tools to not only have a good negotiation, but to get to know the tools that you are trying to buy and to get to know. So I definitely think that AI is going to be a huge game changer in the future, because right now what we do is we launch RFPs, right? Our request for proposals, people send their proposals. But I do believe at some point AI will get us to the moment that AI is going to be able to explain to us what the technologies are without us having to launch an RFI or getting the vendors to ask questions. So I'm very excited about that. I think it's going to happen in the next few years. But also on that note, I think it's very important to mention that, this is the boomer generation. My mom and her sisters, they're always like, oh my God, look at that 2-year-old moving that iPad. It's just, they're born so smart now. And it's actually not that. It's that we're actually getting very good engineers that are so good at their jobs that are making things user-friendly. So that's why it's so easy to not just grow up with it, but to get used to it no matter your age. I mean, some people, of course, don't like it. They refuse to use it, whatever might be the case. But we're actually at the point of technology where we're getting great engineers that are making great user-friendly solutions. So that's sort of like I see it. It's not that it's taking away jobs. It's creating new opportunities. And if we're able to navigate this wave in a good way, we're going to be the ones fixing the robot right there. I think everyone got something out of the pandemic and COVID. Not necessarily good, because maybe we did create some weird habits because of lockdown. But what I would say is definitely, I think if this were to happen again somehow, touching wood again, I do think we're better equipped. I think technology is at a better place right now, because we took a huge leap when this happened. It's like the industry grew 10 years in 2 years. I don't know if you agree with that, but it's sort of like, okay, so we need to get people in their homes. So we need to have the cloud. We need to have a good VPN system, good VDI system. We need to start working with all of these things that we didn't know before we needed to work with. So I definitely think that we took a step forward on that aspect. However, I do think that if it were to happen again, it wouldn't be the same. You know, it's always different. Nothing, a lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. So it will come with these challenges if it were to happen. But mostly technology, I think, will be more reliable than ever. I cannot believe it's been 3 years. Sometimes I think I just avoid thinking about it. Like I say, no, it really didn't happen. It just seems so far away. But at the same time, it just seems so close.
Conversation switches to the gender divide, where procurement is still largely dominated by men today in 2023. Diana acknowledges that while progress is being made, the road ahead is still long.
Well, I obviously do have a lot to say on this. First of all, I am one of those people who think commemorating women, the ones who paved the path for the ones that are here right now, is very, very important, because history proves that we need to honor the ones that brought us here somehow. I don't know if you heard about if you heard this phrase. It says, for such a long time, when a poem or something written wasn't signed, or it just says anonymous, it was a woman, because we were not allowed to express ourselves that way. So I definitely think that right now it's not a race, but if it were a race, men would be here and women would be here, because we started so much later than men, working and juggling life. So I do think we're at a good point of having these conversations. We're at a good point where we can actually talk about how much women were neglected in the past. We're ready for that conversation. Are we ready to wrap it up? I don't think so. I think there's still a long, long way to go. But just yesterday, somebody asked me to asked me about how I felt about TP Woman, which is the initiative that we have in teleperformance with women, and how I felt about it. And my only answer was, one of the basic needs of human beings is a sense of belonging. We always need to feel like we belong somewhere. So these types of initiatives, recognizing that women are still not at the same level as men, pay-wise, education-wise, responsibility-wise, acknowledging that makes us feel like we are being heard. And slowly but surely, we're acknowledging the problem and we'll find a way to fix it. And it's like when you go to work at a place and you see all these ramps for people in wheelchairs, when a person in a wheelchair comes to a place where they have the ramps and is equipped for them to actually have a normal life, then they feel welcome, they feel engaged. It's sort of the same with these programs at the companies. We feel that that is a ramp. And slowly but surely, ramps can build bridges. So that's what I'm hoping for. Yes, the higher you go, the lesser women that you get to see. And that is true. And that's culturally something that was very normal. Like if you think of the board of any company, you think of 12 men sitting around a table with suits. That's what you think. And we still think of that. And in most scenarios, that's actually true. You might have a woman there, but one or two, but we're getting a seat at the table. So it's not nearly enough yet, but we're there and it's exciting. Not so much in the IT industry. And actually when I got the job for IT buyer, because I was doing maintenance and facilities procurement before I was doing IT, the person who was in that job before, he left for another company. And I thought maybe I would like to get the job that he had. But then my own mind, my own DNA, my own upbringing, everything, it came here and challenged me and actually sabotaged me a little bit, because I thought they were going to give the job to a man. That's just what I thought. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I mean, it wasn't the right thought, but it's just, that's how we're programmed. That's how far it gets. Like, it's just part of the basic instinct in our brains to say, well, this is the men's industry, right? And then when my boss told me that he wanted me to take on this job, I said, I thought you were going to give this job to a man. And he said something very, very interesting. He said, I'm giving this job to someone who's very capable. And I so thank him for that, because that did a huge mindset on me. And it was a game changer, really, because I thought, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go. I've met a few women in technology, mentoring-wise. Well, of course, you have your leadership team. There's a couple of women at Teleperformance that have been amazing and have been mentoring me for interviews and for a couple of articles that I've written, but they're not part of the technology or procurement team. Well, my best answer would be, you change the narrative by becoming part of the narrative. You become part of it. You understand the problem. You become a part of the solution. You start doing talks like this, writing, making people notice you. Notice that a woman's work is very valuable, and it's important for all of us to be able to be a part of any industries that we want to be a part of. And I know that people after me, if they sometimes see this, they'll be like, hey, she's right. I can be an engineer. I can be an astronaut. It's not a man's field. And it's great to be able to just put like a little grain of salt there. Yes, it's very, very important to me to be able to give to someone at some point. I hope I do have that honor to someday give that someone the motivation they need to fulfill whatever dreams they have, because I love my job. I love what I'm doing, and I love to be able to be outspoken about the fact that, yes, I am a woman. Yes, it comes with challenges, everyday challenges, but overall, I love it, and I would recommend for anyone to go for it, and they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. But if there's one person that I get to inspire with this, then I'm good. That is a huge situation that we need to pay closer attention to, because we have companies that are trying to create environments that are safe for women, but we also still hear about these horrible cases where women feel undermined, that the they get mansplaining on a daily basis. So we have both of those circumstances, and it's very important to acknowledge them. But most importantly, it's very important for us to be able to tell them apart. That the fact that some things are normal, it does not mean that it's right. So if our industry, if our world, if our way of living to this point has brought us to the to this idea of women belong here and men belong here, then we need to take that idea, but we need to acknowledge it. Because it's like Germany. I love how they acknowledge everything about the Holocaust and they make it a part of their story to make sure that it doesn't repeat itself. So I would say the same thing applies here. Well, if you don't know what happened in the past and how it happened, then how could you possibly be prepared for the future? So it's very important, but it's not important only for women. It's most important for men to know the story and to know what has been done to women in the past so they don't make the same mistakes. Really, this right now, while women are fighting and we're trying to have a voice and have a place at the table, and a lot of men come to me and say, hey, but I'm here, I'm an ally. Well, the best way to be an ally is to know history and to understand that you have a privilege. And for other people to have a seat at the table, you might have to forego a little bit of that privilege. So it also takes a lot of will for men to not only say, hey, well, I've never done anything to women. That's not nearly enough. History owes us. And therefore, if a man is privileged enough to be at the table, then he should use that privilege to help the underprivileged. Let's say it that way right now.
With an eye on the future in mind, Diana is clear about what the next few years in procurement could hold and believes AI has a big role to play.
Okay, first of all, I do believe the procurement is coming to a maturity place where we can actually start to see what is needed of us. So before, I think it was very much you buy stuff, you buy what, in my case, what the IT team is telling you to buy, you buy that specific. So now we're coming to a point where we're able to automate forecasting because of the tools that we have available right now. So we're able to automate our forecasting. So we actually can be one step ahead in knowing what we're going to need. AI will definitely come into play at some point, like we talked about. But I do believe that we're coming to our own. Procurement is maturing so much that we're not only allowed to buy, but we're also allowed to we're also now allowed to take care of the business's interests. Like, let's just say, you need 10 computers, but I just bought 9 for you. Go to your warehouse, look for them because I know that I bought them. So that's a way of saving too, because you don't have stock just depreciating in some weird warehouse. But, you know, we are administrators as much as we are buyers, and we try to save money, but we also need to make sure that we're using the resources of the company we're working for in the best way possible.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the CPO Strategy Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and if you have, make sure that you subscribe or like our social media pages so that you never miss an episode. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the CPO Strategy Podcast, brought to you by CPO Strategy Magazine and B2E Media Limited. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to like, subscribe, and review. And don't forget to check out our podcast archive at www.cpostrategypodcast.com.